This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Sarah Hugh and Doc 2 on FUBAR Radio.
Fresh? Fresh? FUBAR? Is fresh?
Was that convincing? Do you like my beatbox? I think Grace, who we had on the show, let's just stick with what we know. Yeah,
I'll do the rapping. You do the DJing.
Exactly. This is exactly why I'm a DJ and have never attempted rapping or beatboxing or anything like that. You're tuned into FUBAR Radio, and it's Sarah and Doc taking care of you this afternoon. Normally Hugh is with us, but he's gallivanting around the world doing exotic fun things. We've been trying to track him down on the phone, you know, but he's just been airing us out.
Very late in.
I don't care.
When he left, he was like, no, just call me up, I'll be live on
anytime.
The show. I was like, it'll be 3 a.m. And he was like, yeah, but I'm rock and roll. He's not.
Yeah, he's party animal, really. No, he's party. He's like, I'm having way too much fun partying to speak with you guys.
I'm not jealous on the basis
I'm not jealous, just
on the basis that I've been to Melbourne many times, as I'm sure you have. But I often go at this time of year because it's a comedy festival and the weather turns at this exactly this stage.
It gets very
London
British.
London gets amazing.
Yeah.
And Melbourne turns dry.
I know. That's so why I always coincide my tours in that part of the world to dodge the English winter.
Yeah.
And then I just come back.
And it's a beautiful day, England.
Seriously, this weather has actually knocked me
and
for six.
And the rest of the world. I mean, listen, we're doing it and it's just beautiful outside. We're sat by the window and it just looks incredible. We're all very excited. We got ice creams in the studio. Sarah's in a bikini. I'm in a tiny, tiny
mankini.
Pair of... Yeah, well, I did have the mankini.
Just tell them about the mankini. Don't be shy.
Now I'm in the Speedos. And it's just...
If
it's
only there was a webcam.
It's cray up in here. That's why we don't live stream.
It's cray up in here. Yeah, no, they ain't ready for that,
welcome, webcam.
Yes, but you also, how was your Easter weekend?
Oh, my Easter weekend was so dope, man. I had such a good time. It was such a mix. It's the nature of my life. It's such a mix of the savoury and the incredibly unsavoury.
Yes.
It's just always been that. That's the way it is when you're a parent, you know, like...
And a hardcore Christian.
Like me.
And a rapper.
Yeah, you just don't... You've got that kind of little... That don't give a fuck fetish. It's like kind of a weird combination.
And then you're like reminding yourself. Meant to be the responsible role model.
So did a proper Easter egg hunt and that with the kids on Saturday. It was lovely. And then Sunday, took them to my mum's. And then me and the missus just transformed the house into party house.
And
we just had the whole old school crew round, had some cocktails, had some popcorn. And then we went to birthdays in Dalston, where me and the Last Skeptic and DJ Emily Rawson... Actually, Last Skeptic was on the show last week. You should check out the podcast. And we just threw like
got your glow sticks out.
Oh man, it was like a rap rave for old people. Like it was so good. It was the minimum age like entry. You know, you have like over 18s only. This was like over 28s only. Like you had to show your receding hairline to get in.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
And if it wasn't sufficiently receding,
it was like cellulite for the ladies, receding hairline for the men. Otherwise, no entry.
And it was just beautiful. That's impressive.
It was so dope, man.
To get that many and listen, domesticated people
but
into
the
club.
From a DJ point of view as well, you know, you feel pressure. If you're our age and you grew up on rap, you feel pressure like when you're DJing past midnight to play. Okay, now I've got to play 2 Chainz. I've got to play something that the kids are going to love.
Yeah, I don't feel that kind of pressure. I don't give a damn. That's my AKA DJ name. DJ, I don't give a damn.
We didn't even approach that vibe. We just like kept it real for the old
good.
Folk in there. And it was beautiful start to finish, man. And
I wish I made it.
We had the after party at our flat as well, so it was... It was a long one.
Aw, and the kids were begging. They're like, Mom and Dad, please stop.
Yesterday was a bit tougher because I had to go back to my mum's in Willesden, pick up the kids. And then we went straight to the Heath and had a little walk because it was like this when it was sunny and it was nice.
The Heath, that's like one of my favourite places on earth.
Yeah.
I love that place.
I still, you know what, I still bumped into more potential guests though. I bumped into Mr. Thing in the Heath.
I always.
Just walking around.
Yeah.
I went to get like an ice cream for the kids. And I bumped into Louis Slippers. Remember Louis?
Oh, how's Louis? Louis Slippers, right, he was like, for those who don't know, because me and Doc are just going to end up chatting about all these people that we know personally.
We're not even on air.
Yeah, there's other people listening at home like, who? But no, Louis Slippers is an amazing London-based musician.
He was like Task Force's DJ, wasn't he? Like,
yeah, that was how we originally
and
got
kind
introduced.
Of sort of co-producer, like he produced a few beats with Farmer G and that.
Yeah.
I did a couple tracks with him back in the day.
And then remember they had the Raw Dog Band.
Raw
they did
Dog,
the Heart,
yeah. So
which
he always
was debuted
had that
at
live
Kung Fu.
Element to him, didn't he, Louis?
Yeah.
And when I met him yesterday, he was saying...
Because his brother's still,
doing still live
jamming,
music,
yeah.
But now he's doing it with like a Kenyan band.
Yeah, so I think that's like crazy... still a project with his brother too, yeah.
Yeah, his brother's involved.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me the name. I asked him about 18 times because I was like, you know, I'm going to say it on the show.
You're like, email me.
And
just
I still
text
can't remember
it.
I don't know why I didn't
but
put
it's
it into
dope.
My phone.
Trust
at the
us,
time.
It's
oh,
dope.
My phone was dead, that's why.
Oh, good excuse.
But yeah, it's like Sheena Nwangi or something like that. I'm not doing it credit. But yeah, Louis Slippers with a Z.
Look
at
that
the
man
look
up and get involved with Hampstead Heath if you live in London
oh,
and
man.
You don't
what a beautiful
know.
Park.
I know.
Even if you're not, like maybe if you're up in the Northwest, Hyde Park is beautiful, Lime Park.
You see,
as well.
I swear, like that's one of the biggest selling points for London. Like we're a proper full on metropolis,
yeah.
But we have like amazing green spaces.
Yeah.
Like
I
really,
mean,
London's got to be a tough city to beat. Like you got to go a long way to
I mean,
beat
I don't
London.
Want to be London-centric, but I was born and bred here, same as you, and it is hard to look beyond our parks. I think because they're oases, you know?
Yeah.
They're like a proper break. Like Green Park's incredible. Hyde Park's amazing.
We're killing it.
They're all good.
We're killing it.
They're all
it.
Good. Even the little ones are good.
Even the
not
little
the really,
ones.
Not the really, really little ones, though.
Too.
They're a bit cracky.
Yeah. Those ones that have that kind
like
of pissy smell
like.
With like some shady people in, yeah.
Not those.
Yeah, no. But that still adds to the character
oh,
of
yeah,
like the
yeah.
diversity.
Yeah,
that vibrancy. London, yes,
estate
vibrancy.
Agents would call it.
Yeah, vibrant area. But yes, yeah, so you are tuned into FIBA. As always, we love hearing from you guys. 0330223 0200. You can tweet us as well at FUBAR Radio and Tuesday Drive at FUBARRadio.com too. Now, I heard some like revelations over this weekend,
okay,
so I definitely want to hear like about people's opinions on all of that. And then we've got lots of goodies coming up on the show for you today, including Doc is gonna serenade us with his rapidy raps.
Of course, yeah. You lot go hit me up with some subject matters, you know, the rap about anything, hashtag rap about anything on Twitter. You can hit me up at FUBAR Radio on Twitter, or hit me up on direct at DocBrown88. It's up to you. Or email in your suggestions, TuesdayDrive@radio.com. You know, I rap about anything. I didn't rap about anything last week for the simple reason that you lot just lamed me out. Like, you didn't give
oh,
me
no,
anything.
We had, was it Jeff? Who, Jeff from Plasto?
Pimlico.
Pete in Pimlico. Same difference, isn't
Pete
it? Oh,
Pimlico.
No, Jeff from
no, Jeff,
Plasto.
You, Jeff was the week before who
I'm like
had the list of crazy
Jeff
shit that you can't forget. He was amazing.
No, he was Kilburn, isn't it?
He was
Kilburn.
Yeah, he was Kilburn.
Yeah, but
Pete in Pimlico had a good suggestion
yeah,
last week.
So
I
think
might
we're
go with that.
Okay,
I
hope
respect
so.
Respect for him being the only dude last week who came up with anything.
I want to. Pete had got a lot to say as well, but we didn't quite get a chance to get into everything with him. So, Pete,
yeah.
Hit us up this week. Everyone hit us up.
He was a complicated man, and no one understood him but his woman.
Yeah, it's deep. But yeah, so keep it locked. You're tuned into the sounds of Sarah and Doc on FUBAR. That's the sounds of Nasty Nas and Damian Marley. As we enter, you're locked into FUBAR Radio with Sarah and Doc. Hugh is normally with us, but he's away this week. Mm-hmm. And speaking of Nas, he's going to be performing in London soon, isn't it? That
he
should
is,
be.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that makes London one of the best cities in the world.
We
come on,
get,
we
do get the best.
Anyone doing anything on any serious level, you've got to come to London at some point.
Well,
so we get
to.
All the best shows. But yeah, I'm hoping to go to that one, but it's sold out, so I'm going to have to make
Wait,
some calls. It's Roundhouse in Camden, which
oh.
again. And that's a really nice
yeah,
venue. Yeah,
I know.
Okay,
when
cool,
is that
cool.
In the summer?
Yeah, it's a date. Yeah, I think it's like June. Oh, I liked how you just laughed that off. Like, hopefully she won't remember. Yeah, but no, I think it's June sometime.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look out for that. We've got some big rappers coming this summer, most of because Drake and Kendrick are both coming.
Yeah.
Wireless.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Drake's doing Wireless.
Oh, okay.
And Kendrick.
But, is he
yeah,
just
Kendrick's doing Wireless as well.
I see. See, I'm just out of the loop. I know Mobb Deep are coming to town too, which I've seen
yeah,
those guys before. It is quite comical.
On Sunday, and he's going to see Mobb Deep in Norwich, which just made me laugh.
Oh.
Just that as a phrase made me laugh.
You know what? They
know
need
why.
Alan Partridge to compare that show, man.
and now, we've got a fantastic rap crew. They were really big in 95. Not doing so well anymore, but they're still here.
That
Ladies and gents, it's Havoc and Prodigy So, you know, lose your proverbial poo for Mobb Deep.
Oh. Yes, I would love to see that show. Oh, Mobb Deep featuring Alan Partridge. Was that a real rumour that Alan Partridge was going to take over from Clarkson in Top Gear, or was that just like some internet
nonsense?
Well,
that would be amazing. I mean, one thing I do know for a fact is that Steve Coogan, the real person, is a gas head. You know, he loves his cars.
Oh, he is. Okay.
So I wouldn't be surprised. But I would say also Rowan Atkinson is probably on that list somewhere. He's absolutely mental about cars.
Like, or Mr. Bean.
He'd probably do it for
Maybe
free.
Maybe we should just get Mr. Bean, not Rowan.
Well, that's
Mr.
the thing.
Bean, yeah.
You don't really see Rowan Atkinson like being himself, do you? Like in an interview or
anything. Or ever. It's like, I think of Blackadder.
Yeah.
Or Mr. Bean. Oh, no. And then there was that Johnny English phase, wasn't there?
Yeah.
But
it's true, isn't it? You don't really see him as himself.
He's killing it. That's the way to do it. Just hold down like your real life separate.
Right? Lots of cars.
Yes. But no, that's another talking point of us. Like, people who you think they shouldn't really be doing these kind of jobs, speaking of Clarkson.
It's quite mad. It's quite mad the amount of people you make assumptions about, and then you find out the truth and you're like, wow, okay, I never thought
that
would be fact.
I know, but I had one of those moments. But before we get into that, yeah. I heard that you have a special slot for us, as always.
As always.
Which
is every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday.
Well, oh my God, like, no, they didn't.
That funky beat. Check that bass line.
I always think that's the Hugh saying, though. I think it might be.
Again, he's another person's multiple personalities.
Really good, he's got a really good naturally camp voice.
But we love it.
They will be. Well, anyway, this week's No They Didn't is kind of based a little bit about flaunting money, which is something I love to do, but I just never really been able to. So, you know, I'm very much like, I still miss pound notes, you know?
The pound, Doc.
The pound coin came out in 1983, kids. But before
Aren't
that,
they updating that? One of them they're updating.
Updating the £2 coin.
Oh.
It's going to be shaped like a 50p.
Yeah, see, that's a bit
weird.
Odd.
Yeah.
I'm not ready. I'm not ready. they need to give us like a 2-year heads up.
When we had £1 notes, we could floss like hard.
See, but I swear that's the psychology behind the $1
bill. Dollar bill.
That is the psychology.
So they can have
it.
$100, which is like £69, which is nothing. And they can just like
big
walk
dog like you.
Like a fat roll.
Yeah. Or you can even just have like $5 and just still give like a optical illusion.
I tipped
like
the bus driver £69 on the way here.
That's your lifestyle.
That's my lifestyle. that's just the crazy kind of world.
Have you heard that terrible lifestyle
that TV's
song?
Doc Brown lives in.
Have you heard that lifestyle song? That's like one of the biggest tunes in the States right now.
No,
I'm gonna have to get that for next week. We need to address this, Doc. But yeah, let's stick to the agenda at hand.
I mean, you know, obviously, we play a lot of rap on this show, and I'm constantly interested by what rappers are up to.
Constantly flossing.
And I am constantly flossing. And therefore, I obviously constantly look up to Aubrey Graham, Drake, my mixed race brother out in Toronto there, creating headlines. But he's just lost a quite expensive bet. He just lost $6,000. To defunct rapper The Game betting over basketball.
So The Game's like, woohoo, I'm back in the game.
The Game's happy, man. If that was DMX, he'd be even happier. Because that's the alternative. No, he didn't. You must have heard about DMX at the petrol station the other day.
Oh, what happened to him? I feel like he needs a cuddle.
He rolled up in four Escalades. He rolled up and like jumped out with like a bunch of guys, and they robbed like some dude who was just filling his car. $3,000.
No, but
in cash.
Are we sure that it's DMX?
It was DMX.
Seriously, I think he's one of these people that's like, he just needs a cuddle. He just needs like, it's
what
okay,
do you really want?
Everything's gonna be what?
What? Getting old.
He's got
DMX.
Some of the best ad libs in hip hop.
Him and Nori have got my favorite ad libs ever. No,
what?
No question.
No. And Greg Nice.
Oh, Greg Nice.
Say
yeah,
things
yeah.
twice.
Just say things twice. Greg Nice should be Courtney rhyming slang for saying things twice. But
High five to let's start that. Go, let's get that rolling. Going.
Yeah. It's a very niche Cockney rhyming slang.
But back to your flossing lifestyle. So, yeah, Drizzy gangster
is
rap lifestyle.
The kind of, he's like the expert on basketball matters, apparently, and football matters, apparently, English football, that is.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Okay.
Self-acclaimed, but clearly he doesn't know that much because he bet game. He bet the game. $6,000 that the Kentucky Wildcats would beat the Wisconsin Badgers.
You're speaking like Martian to me right now.
I know.
Like,
I mean, that means nothing to me, and I'm a big sports fan, but like these American sports, I don't know. Like, all I know is if I had to make a bet between a team called Wildcats and a team called Badgers, I'd go on the Wildcats as well. So fair enough, Drake. But the Badgers won.
The underdogs.
They won 71-64. This is basketball we're talking about. And the game made it clear on Instagram that Drake had lost $6,000 and he couldn't wait to pick it up, which, as we've already made clear, the game hasn't had a hit in quite a while. So $6,000 would probably go quite a long
help
way.
Help his family.
Get him some new Nikes.
Don't be mean.
So, yeah. That is
pretty outrageous.
It is. I mean, first and foremost, like, I don't care how rich you are. Like, $6,000 to me, $4,000 in English money, that's just too much for any bet.
That's more money than sense. But then if you're like a...
Have some respect. I understand that he's a millionaire, right? Not game. Drake.
Let's just clarify.
I understand that. But still, that kind of money is maybe not life-changing, but it's definitely like...
It sounds like Noel Edmonds
hugely... profound to a lot of people in this world.
Oh, for real.
Therefore, if I was to make a bet, if I was as rich as Drake and we were talking bets, I would always make the bet like, okay, if I win or lose, it doesn't matter. The money goes to this charity or it goes to this person that I used to know that's like on the street or whatever. Just do it that way. You're throwing money away, aren't you?
Exactly. So it's just disgusting.
If you're a millionaire,
really?
To win $6,000,
that's nothing.
In dollars is nothing anyway.
That's like buying someone
so
a pint.
You might as well just always make the result charity based.
Yeah.
So that's why he's in this week's No, They Didn't. But on another level, what it made me think was the listeners, our beautiful, beloved, sexy listeners out there, Fubar Radio.
Yeah.
What is the worst bet you've ever made? Or even beyond that, if you're not a betting person, just a life gamble.
Yeah.
What is the worst gamble?
One that you've either lost or won, or it hasn't even necessarily got to involve money.
Yeah,
like,
that's
maybe
what I'm
these
saying.
Can be.
I'd love to hear the guys that have just put loads of money on one thing and it just went horribly wrong. Or went amazingly well and was a life changer or a game changer. But I'd also like to hear from people who just took a gamble in life. You know, maybe you saw the woman of your dreams or the man of your dreams across the road and you thought, you know what? I'm not going to stick. I'm going to twist this time.
Aww.
And I went up and I said something.
I like
and
that.
And I was slapped in the face.
Yeah.
And
I
got
never
arrested.
Doing
it again.
Yeah.
Or you went up and you said something and she couldn't believe that you'd approached her. And then 3 years later, you're married. You've got kids. It's happily ever after. Let me know the extremes.
We need
extremes.
To hear these stories. So hit us up on the 0330-223-0200. Email us tuesdaydrive@foodbarradio.com. And you can hit us on the Twitter as well. Foodbar Radio.
Do
it's
it.
No, they didn't. What is the craziest bet or gamble that you have ever partaken in? So hit us up, Foodbar. No, they didn't. Drake, this last week, made a bet for $6,000. $6,000 over, like, the winners of a football game with the game.
Basketball.
The game of G-Unit fame. Lost the bet. What an idiot. So we're discussing about, like, what is the most ridiculous gambles that you have witnessed, taken part in, you've won, you've lost. We had an email from Sophie in Camden. Whoa, hey, Camden. Hey. And she says, I made a bet on a horse at the Grand National last year, and the horse actually won the race.
Whoa, that never happens.
The only problem was the rider had fallen off. Does that mean it doesn't count?
That doesn't count.
Oh,
it's annoying
I guess, yeah,
as well.
It's an unfair advantage if
it's
they haven't
well.
Got
just
a man on their
the horses.
Back.
Like, the horses seem to know where they're going.
And, yeah, they'll do fine.
Like, the only thing that's going to slow you down as a horse is having some guy sat on you.
Whipping you.
Yeah, like,
that just pisses you off.
Get off me.
The horses are like, you're taking the piss. Yeah, trying to get away from you. I'm trying my best to get away from you.
Got some Irish midget on my back whipping the shit out of me. That's not helping.
So, yeah, we want to hear from you guys. What is the most ridiculous gambles you have won or lost? I got to tell you, someone, a friend of mine who wants to remain anonymous, who's a big vinyl dealer.
I love stories that start like this. A friend
who wants to remain anonymous. He hit me up to say that he
over this that works. It distances him even more from the truth.
Yes, he or she.
Okay, go on.
No, but over this, he's a vinyl dealer, so he buys records and then sells them on to, like, you know, producers and things like that. And he bought two records. He took a gamble buying two pieces of vinyl records for 50 quid. So for him, he was like, okay, this is a lot of money for me to be sending. Anyway, turned out a couple of days later, he's managed to make £7,000 off of these two records.
From two records?
Two pieces of vinyl.
Do you know what the records were?
He would not reveal that information on air. Wow. Yeah, I know. So for him, he was like, this is a big gamble to spend 50 quid because he's someone who'll find, like, records for £1.50 and then sell them for 500 quid and stuff.
That's amazing.
It's crazy, isn't it? And isn't it a trip how, like, everyone's so into vinyl these days? I'm loving it.
No, that's loopy. You know, my missus one time, like, she was living in this, before we moved in together, she was living in this estate called Popham Street. It's, like, it's near the Angel. And, her neighbour died, right, on the same level in this block, just across the hall. So it was, like, up to her, because she didn't have any outside surviving family, to empty the flat.
Oh, gosh.
And in this little, it was pretty grim, but in this little cabinet that was just tucked in the corner, she had a lot of crap in there. There was just, like, Stax and Atlantic records from, I mean, Stax the label and Atlantic records, soul music from sort of 68 to about 75.
Wicked. And so, I mean, I shouldn't be saying that.
Some of,
like,
the copies were unopened, man. Like,
wow. But sometimes, you know, that can damage vinyl if you leave it in
true.
The
there were some that were warped because they'd just been there forever. Yeah. And there were others that had been opened and maybe played once.
Wow.
And, I mean, just mint condition, basically, about 100 records. We've never actually had them priced up. They're just in our house.
Well, we
can
give them...
But it's like William Bell, like, it's nuts. James Brown, like, all sorts.
Oh.
But originals, and they look like reissues. They're that crisp.
It's so crazy. And I was reading the other day
about... So look out for dying people or dead
people.
Yeah,
befriend
there,
these
guys.
People. You never know what they might have in their vinyl collection. But I'm not a gambler. I was struggling to even think of things that I gamble on other than, people.
I don't
my
gamble money,
people.
But I do gamble everything. My self-respect's the main one.
Yeah, I would agree with that for you, Ben.
I don't have enough self-respect to care about what people think about me the next day. So I will gamble a lot of nights. In terms of just general behavior. But thinking about, like big gambles in my life, I'd say possibly, this is quite a crazy one. Like, my first child, I can't say that it was planned very well. And it was a huge gamble.
Oh, but it worked out wonderfully.
But I'd say, like, 10 years on, I say, yeah, okay, it was the right decision. I'll put it on record. It was a gamble that worked.
I think
there's
probably many people who could say the same with their first child, isn't it? Nadine in Plymouth, I'm liking this, Nadine. She says, I was so sure I was going to pass my exams that I bet my mum I'd do the ironing for the next 6 years if I failed. That's bold.
That's
on, Nadine.
Really brave.
She's like, it's been 5.5 years and I've only got 6 months until I've paid my dues.
She's still ironing.
Go on, Nadine. I like that. A woman who sticks to her word.
I hate ironing.
You know, she stuck to it. That's what it's about.
I made a gamble this afternoon. I actually bought a Milky Bar and put it in my pocket, thinking I'll be at Fubar really soon and then I'll eat it when I get to the studio.
For breakfast.
I forgot about it because we went straight on air and that gamble hasn't paid off. I've basically just opened a liquid Milky Bar.
Yeah, careful. That's like...
Other white chocolates are available.
Yes, but it's just not the same.
Yeah.
I don't think I've eaten Milky Bar since I was like 11 or something.
I love Milky Bars,
it reminds me of the 80s.
They don't sell Chunkies anymore. You know, I used to get a pound
chunky.
Pocket money. Yeah, Milky Bar Chunky.
Damn.
I used to, with my pound pocket money, I used to get a Milky Bar Chunky, a D&G ginger beer and a Beano with a pound.
A pound. And change.
Yeah, and change.
Change to
this
save.
This is like And this isn't even like, I mean, obviously it's a long time ago in like probably the kids listening, but like I'm talking about like 1990. Do you know what I mean? A pound went a long way in 1990.
Listen, there's people listening who weren't even alive in 1990. I bet.
And that sickens crazy, me to my very stomach.
You people make me sick.
And we'll never be friends. That's to the boys only.
Not that we're bitter or anything like that, you know. No, but we're talking about gambles and the worst or the best that you've made. I want to hit, like, who's won gambles? Like, we did hear about winning the Grand National, but
I
then that
on
was
Grand
like
National
the.
Every year. I've
Do
never
you?
Won. Never won.
Wow.
But I don't know why I'm surprised.
Take the hint, man.
Because I've never watched horse racing. Ever. Why would I know anything about
Blake,
horse racing?
I wonder what
I
the percentage.
I watch football every day, right? Every
Never
day.
Never
Even if there's like no like major football on, I'll watch like lower league football or I'll watch amateur football. I know football. I know that game inside out. I've never bet on football.
So you are a bit of an authority
like,
on
even,
that.
Even
but...
last night, right? My team, Crystal Palace, we beat Manchester City, who are the champions. Okay. We are a below average team to
okay,
be fair.
Okay.
So the odds on us beating the champions are so slim. But before the game, I told everyone who listened, we're going to do them. You know why? Because we're in better form than them. We're in better form. We got more confidence. Their season is falling apart.
I can't challenge anything that you're saying. Okay, right? I don't know whether I'm backing you on that.
Basically,
yeah,
all you
fully.
Need to understand, Sarah, is okay. that would be considered in the mainstream world of gambling a yeah. very long bet to bet on Crystal Palace over Manchester City.
Okay, put okay? this into like hip hop terms for me.
So it's basically like saying, okay,
the
rap,
game is going to go down.
It's a rap battle
between
Iggy
Azalea.
It's Iggy Azalea versus Lauryn Hill in her prime. So it's an all female. Rap battle.
So you're backing Iggy Azalea.
So I'm basically back in the football version of Iggy Azalea.
Oh,
and,
dear.
And we won. And I knew we would win.
See, that makes me unsure whether I should feel happy about that one.
Well, I mean, it's kind of different because we're talking about artists and sportsmen. But, you know, the point is that I know about football and I could win a bet on football, but I never bet because I just think, oh, betting's a mug's game, which it probably is. And yet every year, it's coming up now, it's April. The Grand National comes up middle of April, and we all go down to the book. We don't even know what we're doing in there.
It's like, blatantly
it's
just picking names.
It's amazing.
The names
it's such an amazing influx of the middle class bookies on the Grand National Day.
Oh, really?
Just a bunch of us just wondering, like,
how does this work?
Do you, like, I want the green one.
Parlez-vous.
I want the green one, the guy in the green shirt. And there's just a bunch of hardened crackheads who've been in there all year looking at us, like, why are you here? I'm trying to make money to eat. So anyway, you know, amazing for that girl. I've forgotten her name already. No disrespect.
I know. We did. Oh, wait.
Because
I have
never
got a name. Sophie in Camden.
Sophie, big up. I wonder how much money you put on and what you did with it. I'm hoping you were as reckless as
yeah,
I
am.
Yeah,
but then the jockey fell off.
Oh, yeah. So, no,
then,
so she didn't really
yeah,
win.
Yeah, she's out of the game, isn't
it? So it was like a
one of my
rags to riches to rags story.
Yeah, it was like, oh. But no, one of my favourite bets, though, is the Trading Places bet. That's got to be a classic,
yeah.
isn't it? Like
that
where
is a great
they
bet.
Bet the dude's lives
$1
crispy dollar. No, my dad made me laugh the other day because an advert for like Paddy Power came on TV and he was like, yeah, when I first heard of Paddy Power, I was convinced that it was like the Irish version of Black Power. Like it was like the Black Panther movement. It
That's
was like
amazing.
The Black. Yeah, I was like, oh, I wish it was.
That's amazing.
I wish it was.
Oh, that's so good.
I know. Let's just keep that. Paddy Power!
Enough. We've had enough.
Yeah, no more.
Enough of your Irish jokes.
Yeah.
Enough of your stereotypes.
We can all congregate here and form the plan.
That's
but yeah,
so good.
I know. Paddy Power. Let's bring that Paddy Power back. Shout out to Paul in Stanwell. He says, the best gamble I ever made was deciding not to go to university and to go to Spain for a holiday instead. I met a hunky man there and on day two and I stayed there for 4 years. Oh, bless you.
Wow.
Who needs education? Well, I do. I'm taking a night class at the moment, but it was worth it. So you see, you got to be in it to win it, innit?
Go on, Paul. Or was it Paula?
Paul.
Okay.
Yeah.
All good.
Okay. Yeah.
Hunky man. It's all good.
It is all good. We love it. We want to hear more from you guys.
It's equal opportunity listening here at FUBAR.
That is right. Yeah. Hit us up at FUBAR Radio on Twitter. Tuesday Drive at FUBARradio.com. Here's some Talib Kweli.
Yeah. We sell crack to our own
side. Have you seen Talib Kweli live before?
Unfortunately, yeah. I mean, people
oh, really?
Who know me, people know me know I'm not a Kweli fan. That is not my selection.
How come?
Series.
Tell me. Oh, okay, okay.
It's very simple. I just think he sounds like a goose, and I can't get used to it.
Collie, I hope you're not listening and you're not offended by
Do you remember that Common song where he said, if I don't like it, I don't like it, and I mean that I'm hating? And
that's the yes, way it I does feel. Mean you're hating, though.
I don't hate on Quali at all. I'm not a fan. I've never been a fan.
Yeah, I mean,
his voice
I'm not.
Irritates the hell out of me.
Yeah, it's kind of like me with Drake. Like his voice, which is like the same voice as about 17, other people's voices.
You see,
as well.
We would just have to agree to disagree
but
on
that. But that's
Trizzy
like daggers in my ear.
I love Drake.
Or it's like needles. It's like infected needles being stabbed in my eardrums.
I love Drake.
We can just generate his voice on the computer.
Difference between Drizzy and Quali is, like, well, obviously, there's a lot of difference. But one of the big ones in terms of voice is that Drizzy's actually got a number of different voices that he utilizes.
That he generates in the computer. Yeah. So it's like, I'll go with that one.
Whereas Quali's just chosen one voice. And unfortunately, it's
the voice he was born with.
It's a water-based avian bird.
I don't
think
he got to choose it. I think he was just born with those vocal cords, and now he's just like making the most of a bad situation.
If I sounded like a goose, I think the last thing I would do is take on a profession where my voice was everything.
Well, you will get to hear how Doc sounds when he's in full-on rapidy rap flows later in the show, because we always have a special feature from Doc called Rap About Anything. And you can hit us up if you have any ideas of things that you want to hear Doc rap about. TuesdayDrive@FubarRadio.com. We want your ideas. I've got to send the shout out to Helen in East London, who was agreeing with us that basically when it comes down to gambling and betting on horses, she's just picking someone with a nice outfit or a good name. So yeah, I think we're all agreed on that. We have no background information when it comes to the Grand National or anything like that. You're tuned into FUBAR Radio with myself, Sarah, and Doc. And this last couple of days, I heard something that kind of made me sort of go,
Really? Oh, it's been a while since I heard that tune.
You love that tune, don't you?
That's a big tune. That, you know what that tune makes me want to do? It makes me want to put on some blammies and like tuck them in my ankles above some like Nike Air Max.
Them days.
Yeah, it makes me want to put two cuts in my eyebrow and get like a
and on the side, the high top.
Yeah,
the,
get
the
like a half
asymmetrical
moon or something,
high top.
And it makes me want to put on a hypercolor long sleeve t-shirt with a hood on it that changes color when I sweat. That's what that tune makes me want to do.
Yeah, it conjures a lot of emotional,
beautiful images,
sentiment. Yeah, it just makes me want to do like an energetic running man.
But most
really,
of all,
yeah,
it makes you want to go.
Timeless. I didn't even know whose tune that was, but yeah.
CNC Music Factory.
I wonder if they're still paying for their kids' lives just off of the back of that one tune.
You know what? I wouldn't put anything past, because like in the old days you could do that. Like you could have a hit now and still have to keep
generations.
Shit's changed. Like since the recession, nobody can just do like one little thing and then just live forever off of that one little thing.
I know they got to keep playing this media game, and that's how they turn into media whores. And speaking of such like kind of
sellouts.
People don't use the... I wonder if any of our younger listeners even know what a sellout is. But yeah, speaking of sellouts, I was here, I heard something kind of... It didn't even surprise me, actually. I was like, yeah.
It's disappointing more than anything, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it kind of... I had low expectations anyway.
Really?
I think, yeah. Okay. But I was just kind of like, wow, well, that's what you get. But this... the other day, I was reading an article in The Independent, so, you know, quality publication, and it said that Beyonce is actually like a hardcore Republican.
Wow.
I thought, what a little scumbag. She kind of duped us.
That is crazy.
She duped us.
I mean, as you know, all political leanings are welcome through our radio.
And in case
if you've ever listened to the show, then you will know that Sarah has never been shy about pinning her flag to the post, shall we say.
Yeah, I mean,
let's just
I know
say
it's
the,
a problem
the first
that I'm
show she did,
to.
She was wearing a Free Palestine tracksuit.
The following show was... No, I mean, I am a bit more radical than most people, and I am constantly trying to... Yeah, I don't want to upset anybody, but, you know, I have an issue with, like...
We respect you.
If you're not familiar with what it means to be Republican, that's kind of like the English version of the BNP sort of thing. So, like, no, I'm joking. It's the Republican Party and the Democrat Party. Republican means that she's basically, like, down with the Tories. But the reason why I found it a bit surprising, because then she performed at Obama's inauguration, didn't she? Where she did the lip sync. sinking.
And her husband was very vocal in support of Barack.
Yeah, and then she, that was kind of controversial when she did her performance because she didn't do it live. She was just like miming to a cassette, which I thought that was a bit weak too. Mm. But she said, yes, I played at the inauguration because there were a lot of kids in that audience that I want to reach, that's all.
Wow. So
she's deep, you know. She's deep. And she's like, maybe one day I'll speak my political beliefs, but only when I really know what I'm talking about. Mm. Let's hope that day doesn't come. And she also in the same interview was saying, I grew up in a very nice house in Houston. I went to private school my whole life and I've never, ever been to the hood. Not that there's anything wrong with the hood. Seriously, honestly. But I am come from a strong Republican background. But I just thought, you know, that kind of made me look at her in a new light.
Definitely. And it's quite depressing, the idea that because you've never been somewhere, that means you have to be in a part of this other gang. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
I've never been to the hood, therefore I'm a Republican. I don't really...
Yeah, therefore I'm pro guns that. And I'm pro like war and I'm pro... Yeah, let me hold my tongue.
I wonder what... Like, you know when they're having like, oysters and that with like Kanye...
Oysters?
You don't know, like, as in the, you know, like the, a little
as in the London travel
their...
pass. No, I was like, what are you talking about, Kanye? No, like,
when they're having canapes and stuff before dinner.
Oh, yes.
With Kanye and Jigga and
yes.
I don't know who else. Young Guru, maybe. Maybe he's invited.
And the game.
Kelly Rowland.
DMX.
And the game. And they're all there having, you know, shrimps and...
Orders.
Beyonce says, hey, did you see that after dinner speech that George W. Bush did? It was amazing.
Yeah. Or, and it like, really reminded me of those good old Reagan days.
John McCain, what a war hero.
And,
and then you got Kanye there, who like made a tune called Black Slaves and like went on a telethon saying George Bush doesn't care about black people. I just want to know about the tension at that table.
But that's why it's like these people are shady. Like, really, how much can you trust the image? You know, obviously there's a carefully crafted image that Beyonce is in control of putting out to the world, which she's entitled to.
In her defense, Sarah, I would say that she's not ever like been like a politicized singer. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not like she's come out with a tune. She's never been like a Bono or a, you know, or even like a Kanye West with her songs. So,
but it's confusing if you're kind of like singing at the inauguration of a Democrat.
That is confusing. Yeah. That's hypocritical.
That's what I'm saying. And then when you think about
and
how
then to defend
much
it by saying I was just
audience.
Trying to sell some more records is like kind of deep.
You know what? I rate her for that, just being blatant about it. She's like, listen, right, that was a key audience that I wanted to tap into and take advantage of. So I rate her for that. Wow, that really is liquid.
I'm
that milk.
Milky bar is mad melted, bro.
Bro.
We can talk about American politics till the cows come home. And don't get me wrong, the shit is important, but there's other things going on in the world. Like, a man has had a Milky bar in his pocket for at least 7 minutes too long. And you got to think about the
repercussions.
The repercussions, the emotions that that man is feeling when he goes in to take a chunk and there isn't a chunk. It's just one mush, one ball of mush, you know? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how deep it is. So, you know,
deep.
Of
big
course
issues.
There's world politics and there's Milky bars in pockets. And I'm just saying,
these are all issues that need to be addressed.
Don't belittle either.
Yes, it's all major issues. But we have super special guests coming up for you shortly in the show. So hold tight for that. This is another legendary. We don't go anything below legendary status. People, you know, and opinions on this show. So keep it tight. That's coming up just after 5. And also, we love hearing from you guys. So hit us up on the Twitter, Foobar Radio. Man. I love hearing, like, the Foobar listeners' opinions and views on things.
Yeah. What did you gamble on today, by the way? Did you gamble on your outfits?
I gamble on I always overdress, so today I was just totally sweaty. Like, yeah, really did have to strip off to the bikini.
It takes a lot for me to just look outside and go, yeah, I'm just wearing a t-shirt.
It's part of living in London, isn't it?
I never trust it.
But yeah, let's get into some Snoop Dogg.
It's your East Side partner, Big Snoopy.
Hey. I do like how Snoop flipped this sample for this tune. You know, sometimes when it's like people use things and you're kind of like, not so much. Not too sure about that one. This is the sounds of Foobar Radio. And before that little cut from Snoop Dogg.
Jimmy's getting sued for that sample, isn't he? That Big Pimpin' sample.
Is he?
I read that in the mainstream paper. You listen to your little face just lit up.
It's the karma. It's the karma for having a wife.
Yeah, he's getting sued by like some Egyptian dude.
But how come him and not? Oh well, I guess
him
yeah.
And
comes...
Timbaland.
Wow.
Yeah, for Big Pimpin. Yeah, it was like some Egyptian record. It was like a big hit in the late 80s.
Yeah, no, he must have gotten wind of the Marvin Gaye, Pharrell business.
Yeah,
and he was like, yo, I need some of that cash.
Like, yeah, what sounds like me?
I think that was a record breaking. I think that definitely crazy. Did make some people go, don't know if I really agree with that one. I
think Robin Thicke made his wife go, off that tune.
Yeah, I think he's just in a permanent state of, at the moment, isn't he? Mm. But yeah, we were talking before the break about, things that make you go, What recently has made you guys go, not so sure about that? 0330-223-0200. Hit us up, because I discovered in the last couple of days that Beyonce is a hardcore Republican, which kind of took me by surprise, seeing as she was so involved in like bigging up Obama.
You just wouldn't guess that.
I know, but that's why it's like, whoa, you're shady, man.
Yeah, in fact, you know, so I'd say most black people in the public eye in America, you're surprised when you hear they're not like on the Democratic side of things, considering the
I
history.
Know we are
the
all
North
entitled
and the South, the Civil War, slavery, everything. Do you know what I mean? You'd think you'd always lean towards
away from lynching.
You know, you're looking,
like,
at, you're looking at essentially two white power strongholds in both parties.
Yeah,
so you think
so one who's a little less
liberal,
so into quite, populating quite prisons mad. With black people. Yeah, quite a little mad. Bit less in that direction. Mm. So yeah, I mean, I'm curious. I'm sure there's lots of things that made you guys go and I actually have a new game that we want to play. With Doc, that I'm wondering if this will make him go,
We'll see.
And the game is actually it's very special. I think you're gonna love it. And the game is called close your eyes and open your mouth.
See what I love about this game.
You're excited,
and
aren't
I said
you?
This off
you're
air,
excited, aren't you?
Is that there's? I'm yet to find a situation in my life where I wouldn't be excited by somebody saying those words to me.
That's how he wrote. That's how
the
Doc
nature,
rolls.
That's the nature of your co-host, guys. Email me.
Yeah. So close.
Tuesday drive at foodbarradio.com.
I think let's see how willing
Before
Doc
or
is.
After the show.
Yeah. So coming up next, we've got Close Your Eyes, Open Your Mouth with Doc Brown.
AJ Fat, and we're here to rock. Rhymes like ours could never be stopped. See, it's three of us, and I know we're fresh. Party rock is non-stop,
I so totally should have played a song that wasn't like cutting out halfway through. But it's because we're just so excited to get into Close Your Eyes and Open Your Mouth with Doc Brown. Doc, you were saying, well, wait, first of all, shout out to Gail in Southall, because we've been wanting to know from you guys, what made you go, And Gail in Southall said, I discovered that Harry Styles has two extra nipples. Whoa! And she said, that made me go,
I love that that's a thing that, like, makes Gail like get a bit frisky.
Yeah.
I mean, Lily Allen showed me her third nipple once.
Oh, did you feel
really
special?
I did feel special, but I didn't really know how to feel about
that
it.
That wasn't in a game of Close Your Eyes, Open Your Mouth. Well, you don't need to divulge those kind of details to us. That's between you two, what you get up to in your private time. And of course, that was before your married life. But I'm sure it's. Yeah, totally. But right now, whether you're ready or not, Doc,
moving swiftly on.
Yeah, are you ready to close your eyes, open your mouth?
Yes, I am.
So we have some treats here.
Okay.
I think now's
Shall
the
I
time
my,
to. Yeah.
I close my eyes now. Okay.
I think we'll start. Do I have to even touch this? I'm not even sure. Okay. All right. I'm getting orders from the boss. Amy. Yes, you do. Oh God. Oh my Lord. Right. This is.
So what have I got? I've got to tell you what it is that's in my mouth?
I guess review the experience for the listeners. Okay, I'm going to have to like
Natalie,
lean
no,
over.
No, not like this.
Let me lean over this way without killing myself. Okay, open your mouth. Doc's eyes are closed. We'll start small and we'll build it up. How's that? So
is it not always edible?
It's totally edible. Oh, it's edible. Really healthy. It's really healthy. What's it take? I've never tasted something like this
before. Initially it's like a twig. Now
a twig, okay.
Now so like a sort of dried worm.
You're getting closer to the ballpark area of...
Dried.
It's very good source of protein as well. Mm. Natural source of protein. You like natural source of protein.
Okay,
in your
I'm
mouth,
saying... Oh, God, that's really tough.
Is it good? You liking it?
I wouldn't say it was good. I mean, I've just had a Milky Bar and a Diet Coke.
Oh, my
God. So I've been sugared up.
I have another. Ooh.
I would say it's like some kind of pulse. Some kind of a maze.
Okay, yeah, just go with that because, you know, it's like the mind over matter is, like, ooh, what kind of, so if that was on level one, which level should we jump to now? Five? Three?
I wouldn't go up to five no, immediately.
I wouldn't even have a look at this.
That could have been a dried worm. And I'm really not sure.
I love you too much to go to number five. But okay, maybe number two.
Okay, let's do number two.
Oh God. See, this is like even challenging for me, even just to like.
Can we just? You know what? I should have maybe made some stipulations beforehand.
It's too late.
There's not going to be anything alive.
It's not alive. Just lean forward towards me. Trust me, we've known each other for years. It's really good for you. Ooh, crunchy. I think this would definitely make many people go,
Okay, now that is...
wholesome.
It's got the consistency of popcorn.
Ooh.
But it tastes like an ingredient from like a curry or something. So...
Oh.
Okay,
I think we should just go to level five.
It tastes like a dried flour.
Are we ready for like level five? Is this like legal for us to do this to him? It's fine. Nat's it. The producer, Nat, is in my ear. She's like, fine. Just totally give it to... Oh, my. I honestly, I'm not sure if I can actually handle this. Ooh. Okay, maybe like 4.5.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Can we just, like, get documented evidence of this, like, before it's
Do I have
happening?
To swallow it?
Well, it's good for you. It's a good natural source of protein. You know, all could do more protein in life. Okay, come closer.
Can it be freeze-dried and used to make babies in the future? Can you just tell me that?
I think let's get to that later. Oh, God. No, it's fine, honestly. Now we need to... but the deal is you have to take whatever we put in your mouth. I'm enjoying this. Close your eyes, open your mouth, go. I think we can keep this on going.
I don't know how I ate the kwan.
You don't know.
I don't want the
It's
kwan.
Good for you. It's
I
honest.
Don't want
you know, in Cambodia.
I don't want the kwan.
Make it stop. Make it stop.
Game over, man. Game over.
Are you bowing out of the game?
I don't want the kwan.
You know what?
I don't want the kwan.
I went easy on you. You guys need to go to twitter.com /foodbarradio just to see Doc got involved in this week. And close
you
your eyes, open your mouth.
Or did you video that? Because you should have.
I think we have both. Yeah, which is going to be on our Twitter. You have to have a look
that
at this.
That one felt like a roach. It felt like a cockroach. So I spat it out.
It's like a. Probably a close relative of the cockroach. Okay, I think you can...
Can I open my eyes now?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Dog's just like...
Oh my God, I was eating insects.
So first you had a mealworm.
That's fucked.
It's good for you though. You see, I was nice. I didn't give you the...
You lot are proper evil.
I didn't give you the garlic chapuline?
I opened myself up to you.
You didn't have the smoked locust. No, you had a smoked locust. That's what you had, yeah. And chipotle chapuline.
That last one was like a roach. I could feel it on my tongue.
Yeah, it's on the floor. It was like some kind of beetle.
It wouldn't be as fucked up as it was. That game.
Blame that. She forced me to do
That's
it.
Really twisted.
She said, this is the repercussions of turning up late.
And the thing is,
whoever turns up late for the show, they have to play Close Your Eyes and Open Your Mouth. So next week, watch out. Look
shit.
At that. I couldn't even touch that.
So I just ate like
you
a
ate
maggot
a mealworm.
Thing.
Yeah, you ate a maggot.
And then I ate the second one was actually quite tasty.
Yeah, you'd recommend. So
what was
the
it?
Second one was a chapuline or locust. No. Chapuline. Garlic chapuline.
It's amazing.
That thing. How good that tastes. You can take some more home with you if you like. Oh,
that's rank.
But the crunch of the chapuline.
So the second one.
How is that pronunciation correct? That.
Oh my God.
This. It's good for you though. You know, they're saying that this is actually the future.
Like some kind of a little mini grasshopper or something. But
basically,
it tastes nice.
You know, but they say this is the future of the human diet. Because like they say the meat-eating diet is so bad for the environment that that's going to finish the world off. So we all need
to...
Yeah, but
not in our lifetime, so we can
just
keep eating
burgers.
Yeah,
so we don't need to worry about that. Yeah.
So, what interests me about that whole experiment is that...
The mind over matter.
Yeah, with your eyes closed, you can kind of do it. Like, if I had to see that beforehand, like I'm celebrity or something, no. I couldn't do that.
I think you did fantastic. And can I just say that it is all Nat's fault, and I'm not responsible for any of that. So I don't. You can't reap any revenge on me.
I mean, I know she's a very capable, very strong,
wonderful
woman. Yeah. But I never thought she
would do that to you.
Yeah, I didn't think she could be that evil,
cold blooded,
to force feed a man as innocent as me.
Oh no! They're but you stood creatures. Up to the challenge. I'm so proud of you. Yeah, it's nothing that was bad for
that's
you.
What I do,
nothing you know? That was bad for you.
Yeah.
So next week, make sure you tune in, guys, for more. Close your eyes, open your mouth. It wasn't a roach. I promise you, it wasn't a roach. It was like a beetle. So it's like a cleaner roach.
Yeah, well, you guys can see it on the photos. I'm sure we're uploading
Seriously.
Them as we speak. That big one is a fuck. It's big as a
like
roach.
It's like the palm of your hand.
It's not bigger than a roach.
If I saw a roach that size, I would be running.
You know what I'm saying?
That's you know,
that's crazy.
Carrying mad babies that is just going to
populate
the world.
You know what's disturbing me more as we get deeper into the fact that this is a reality that just happened? Is that all these things are so full of pus that would have been somehow dried. I've just been eating dried pus.
But you can now tick this off your bucket list, you see. Things to be proud of that you accomplished in this lifetime.
This is the type of shit that got me in therapy in the first place. There's such a list of horrific things I've done in my life.
But you agreed to it. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
No, so, I did agree to it. And therefore, like, all legal rights have been waived by Sarah and the rest of the team.
Yeah, so
team.
We can't be like, yeah,
I just feel
prosecuted.
A little,
or
yeah,
anything like that, a bit violated. But I'm coming here in your mankini, that kind of already set the
tone,
didn't it? So,
but I don't know, I just feel like I've lost some of the ballsy quality I walked into the room with.
Oh, never. I feel as though you have you've strengthened. Yeah, the force is strong.
I feel a little emasculated.
No. This has just boosted your balls.
You reckon?
Yeah, it's good source of protein.
Normally there's nothing that four women can shove in my mouth that I'm not happy about.
Hey, man, well, next week, tune in to the Tuesday Drive with Sarah and Doug and see what happens.
We'll see what
and
happens
close your eyes
Tuesday.
And open your mouth.
Thanks, guys.
And remember, coming up later in the show, we have Are You Taking the Piss? So I'm sure as you try and swill away that experience with some Diet Coke there.
I'm in shock.
You can prepare for some of that. And coming up shortly,
this is broadcasting, guys. This is
putting your life on the line. But coming up very shortly, we have a very special guest, the one and only Rodney P. Certified UK legend. He's like choking in the corner.
That's not a reaction to our special guest, Rodney P.
Yeah, it's just a good source of protein. It's super healthy. It's wholesome, natural protein.
Oh, dear. I bet that's what all the guys say.
I don't know. You tell me. Now that I escape sleep, walk away. You so were not ready for that, were you?
I wasn't ready.
You weren't ready for Game of Closure, eyes over your mouth. If you missed out, seriously, you need to go to our Twitter at Foodbar Radio and have a look at what Doc got signed up for when he agreed to a game of Close Your Eyes and Open Your Mouth. It was pretty impressive. So you're tuned into Foodbar Radio with myself, Sarah Love, and Doc Brown, who is away this week, who normally is joining us. But right now, we have a super special guest on the line. Rodney, can you hear me?
Yes. What's going on, Sarah?
It's so good to hear your voice and what I like. Your voice is like a cuddle, a hip hop cuddle.
Is that right? Yeah,
it is.
That's a new one, but I'll take it.
Oh no, that is with nothing but the most utmost respect, you know, because Rodney P, for those who don't know, legendary status MC who really has, you know, you broke down a lot of doors for a lot of cats doing it right now. I mean, how does it feel for you, like, coming from the era that you began in, like, the original school era, to see cats on, like, I'm a Celebrity, which we're lining Doc up for soon, you know, but when you see this level of success that certain rappers in the UK are doing now?
It's all good. I mean, we put in a lot of work in the early days to try and make it so these things could happen. So, got to be thankful, got to be grateful, definitely.
I would say, what's going on, Rodney, by the way?
What's going on, Doc?
Yeah, I'm all blessed, bro.
Long time, brother.
Yeah, it's been a minute still. Uh-huh. I would say, personally, like, just as a fan, like, there's only two people in the game in terms of the UK In my experience, and it's probably the two Rodneys, P and Rodney Smith, you know,
okay, Ruth,
Louvre,
Ruth,
who
right.
I would describe as like timeless MCs.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because like you listen to like, you know, How's Life in London or whatever, but you also listen to the Murderer Style. And similar-
how did you know that those are the two songs I wanted to play today? Anyway, sorry, continue.
And then similarly with Roots, do you know what I'm saying? Like, you can listen to his back catalogue and you can listen to something new that he's coming out. And it's just something about you two and your styles. It's like, you're not, like, you know, a lot of UK rappers is not even about...
I ain't going to argue with you, bro. I ain't going to argue with you.
It's not even about biting,
say,
like...
I would say what it is, you know what it is? It's just that we're two MCs. We brought something unique.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. You just had a voice that was your own.
Yeah.
Because you know what I noticed? I mean, like, you get some dudes, they're like catting. Like, obviously, back in the day, we used to have to worry about people catting an American accent.
Yeah.
But what's happened now is they're not catting American accents. They're just catting flows. Like, so, like, people are biting stuff without even knowing that they're biting. Like, and it hurts.
Yeah. Yeah,
you've been to me. Like, what's your
style? Here's the thing. I come from an era when the worst thing you could be called in the world was a biter.
Yeah.
Like, that was the worst thing you could be. To be told that you sound like someone else, that was fighting talk.
Horrific.
Now it's kind of the norm. It's kind of everyone.
No, but it's
like whoever's the most successful. And
exactly. That's what people are aiming for now.
Creativity. Mm.
Right. Yeah, for real. And I feel that is a big part of why, like how you're saying, the Rodney is such a timeless voice, because you are you, and that was, you know, all nurtured through like the, you know, our principles in hip hop, isn't it?
Instantly recognizable.
Yeah, I'm a purist. I'm a hip hop kid from early.
Oh, so you'll even use the term purist, because some people feel a bit like ashamed to call themselves a purist, or almost like some people get treated like that's a dirty word to use in hip hop.
No, not at all. I'm a purist, absolutely, from the bottom of my heart, but I'm also about progression. So
of course,
I ain't about stagnating the thing neither.
I know.
So you better recognize where we come from and pay all due respects, so we can push forward on a firm foundation. Do you know? Let's not stagnate the thing. I ain't stuck in 1984. Or 1994 or 2004. I'm about next year.
Yeah, that's what I love you, Rodney. I'm shedding a single tear right now listening to the wisdom. No, honestly. No, but like you say, you're not stagnating, and that's what's another thing that's been ill about your career as a fan and also as a DJ, is that you've had a consistent flow of music coming out. You know, like as a DJ, I want, and if you loved London Posse and had first discovered them, to be able to have tunes to draw from to play for you know, around the world from an artist like you, that's a wicked feeling. And you've got some new music coming soon, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm just finishing up an album at the minute for True Thoughts. Put out a record, True Thoughts, which is a label out of Brighton. They do like the Quantic Soul Orchestra and Bonobo, and a real quality music label. They're not really a genre label. They're not about a specific style of music. They just put out good music.
And they've been around for a while as well, True Force.
Yeah, they've been around
just
forever.
Just there bubbling, just right forever. There.
They
just
do like
under
Alice
the
Russell as well. They've always been a label about the music. It's about the quality of the music. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I definitely feel at home there.
Wicked.
I feel like I'm in a creative space. So, yeah, look out for that. That'll be out for the summer.
And what kind
also
of...
in the midst...
Go ahead. No. What kind of project will that be like? Is that a straight up hip hop thing? Is it live? Like
That's a Rodney P thing. Rodney P. I mean, I put out an album last year, which was a Sleeping Giants project that me and Fallacy and Zed Bias did, Sleeping Giants. So that was more about doing like the grime tempos and the drum and bass tempos,
it was wicked,
and kind of feeding my audience
again,
who likes that style. Yeah, it was a different kind of vibe. It's a fun thing for me to do. But when I'm doing my album, I'm doing my straight Rodney P thing. I'm doing my hip hop reggae thing. So yeah, hip hop is the backbone. But I'm a hip hop reggae kid from early. So yeah.
And that is such a wicked angle that the UK artists have to draw from. That I feel it's kind of different in the States, because we have such a I'm never convinced when Americans do it.
When I was a kid, Poor Righteous Teachers, they were kind of dope at it. But other than that,
yeah, no doubt.
You always hear like American rappers trying to do it. It's embarrassing.
I think for a lot of the UK artists, if they're going to be honest about who they are and where they come from, there's going to be a reggae influence to it. I embrace that. When we said, right, we're going to do this London Posse thing and we're going to be authentic and talk how we talk and talk about where we came from, that was all part of it. That meant that instead of just looping up James Brown samples, which we still do and still love doing, it also meant, you know, looking for some Dennis Brown samples. So, you know, it's just about really... you know, being honest to who you are and where you come from and representing that. Yeah, sound. That's what hip hop taught me. And I also, where you come from and do it well. So,
and I also think that that's like an important part of, you know, that's a duty as an artist, because, you know, that's you paying your respects to people who came before you, and then it's also sharing that information to the next generation, isn't it? So they're getting schooled the proper way.
Absolutely. But I'm not one of these people that say, you know, everything you say in your record has to be true. I'm not one of these people that say it's entertainment. I mean, it should have a thread of who you are. I should be able to feel your personality in whatever you're doing. But you have creative license to do whatever you like.
Imagine if they made a rule about the movies, like every single movie has, like everything that is in the movie has to
tell
happen.
The story of their life. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It'd be so boring.
But I think if that was the case. Yeah.
But I do also think that you shouldn't just be out here, you know, perpetrating a complete myth about who you are. There's a lot of people trying to sell themselves as people they ain't. I love
a rap storyteller, but I do hate a guy that's just purely like his whole swag is like how much
I should be afraid of him.
Do you know what I mean? And I should be jealous of how much pussy he's got. I don't give a fuck. Like, I really don't care. Like, I've been listening to rap for too long to give a shit about them kind of boasts.
Absolutely. You know what? I don't care about it when Jay-Z says it. And I know Jay-Z's got the money. So when you little broke rappers start talking that foolishness, I really ain't interested.
I think the other thing is, like, you have a lot of rappers who's like, or artists, not even just in the hip hop game, where they're getting a lot of buzz at the moment and they just think, I've made it, I'm top of the world, I'm the king, kind of thing. And then it's like, yeah, listen, in 5 years' time, these people are struggling to, like, put food on the table.
Who's giving them 5 years? I give them 12 months.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Comes and goes real quick. Like, but you know what it is? I can't even act like holier than thou because I was that kid. You know what I mean? I remember when I first on my first record deal, I thought, this is my life forever. I'm top of a tree. You get me? But the difference for me and a lot of those kids is that my passion and love for this thing is real.
That's what I mean. Honest. And it wasn't...
It wasn't a desire to make records and be famous that got me here. It was the love of the music and the scene that got me here. And that passion remains.
And that's what I feel is a bit different now, because celebrity is so promoted nowadays as that's the attainment. That's what we should all be aspiring to. I think you have a lot of young people who just think, I want to be famous, I want to be a celebrity, and they think, oh, the route to do that is through rapping or whatever. And so, that's when you can fall on tough times, isn't it, if there's no, like, actual substance foundation.
You better love it first. I mean, you got to recognise that this ain't an easy road. Like, I'm sure all of us here in this conversation have seen the highs and the lows of this industry. It ain't all sun and laughter. So you gotta love it. You gotta love it. So, like I said, my passion for this thing is real.
So you feel
concrete. So regardless of whether I was making a living doing this, I would be doing this. Like, I write lyrics as therapy, not just as a paycheck. Although it's nice to get paid for it too.
Exactly.
Can I ask you about Yeah, we touched on it a few moments ago, just talking about the relationship that British rappers, MCs, have with the Caribbean side of things in terms of musical culture, and how, you know, in the States, because the black community there, and this is a generalization, but the vast majority of the black community in the States are descendants of, you know, slaves who would have been there 400 years. Therefore, they don't really have that same connection to the Caribbean
that our parents
came here from the Caribbean. Just in terms of that, I wanted to ask you a little bit about this feature-length documentary, which I've been hearing a bit about the relation between reggae and rap in the UK. Is there anything you can tell us about it?
What documentary are you talking about?
I forget the name of it, but you know
what? I wanted to hear about your documentary,
I see you tweet about it, and I've been told about it by a dude who used to write for Hip Hop Connection, who's been doing like a master's on the relationship between reggae and rap in the UK. My memory's so shit, I've totally forgotten the name. So I wanted you to bring up speed.
I have to say, mine's isn't the only documentary that's being made at the moment, and I know that a good friend of mine, Mark Force, who used to work at One Extra, has done a radio documentary on the same topic as
there's
a few people going down the same line.
Right.
But I think there definitely is a connection, especially with UK hip-hop, with reggae music.
No doubt.
Because a whole generation of us were trained in sound system culture before hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
So as a youngin, the first places I would be on the mic was in a reggae dance more than a hip-hop dance, because hip-hop didn't even exist for us back then.
Yeah.
You know, my earliest, my favourite UK MCs are MCs who have that element of dancehall in their music, because I know I recognise that.
Mm-hmm. And when you think even to jungle music and garage music, sure. like of how course. Much yeah, influence course. Like yeah, the reggae that. Has had on of that course. Too, you know?
Like I would say, like as an artist, like I'm credited in the group I come from, London Possum, is credited as being the first UK group to use the UK accent, the authentic UK mm. accent. And it's true, we were. In terms of hip-hop, we were. But our mentality came directly from UK sound system culture. Sounds like Saxon Sound and Young Lion Sound, who had a mentality of we're UK blacks, but we're not from Jamaica.
Yeah.
So it's important we represent where we come from. That mm. was the mentality within UK dancehall already. We took that mentality and applied it to hip-hop.
So what's the angle on your documentary? I mean, what
yeah,
are the
what
main
is the documentary?
Focus?
What's it called? What's
well,
it about?
The documentary that I'm doing, the documentary that I'm doing is called Under the Influence. And what I'm trying to do, I'm actually trying to make a series of three documentaries. So there's one Under the Influence UK Hip Hop, Under the Influence UK Reggae, and one UK Soul Music.
Nice.
And they're all through the eyes of artists, the hip hop one being me, the reggae one being Tipper Irie mm-hmm. from Saxon Sound System, and the soul one I haven't quite looked down yet, and I don't want to shoot myself in the foot by saying a name that ain't confirmed. But what it basically is about me as an artist saying, okay, I'm credited as being one of the pioneers of this UK hip-hop scene. But actually, I came and found a scene already here. And right. I actually came to it quite late. I wasn't even that early on the scene. So it's about me taking the light and shining it backwards and saying, these are the people who I were influenced by when I got here. These are the people who made the scene exciting for me and made it something that I wanted to be part of. Then going forward, it's about the release of the London Posse album and bringing the UK accent to the MC field and how that then influenced what came after us.
Yes.
In terms of the UK MC style and how that then goes into drum and bass and grime music and what we have today. Asking the question, is grime and UK hip hop, is there a relationship there? Mm. Is there a relation or is it a completely new thing?
See, how do you feel?
Personally, I think we have to connect the dots. Mm. And that's the story that hasn't been told. And I feel like I'm in a pretty unique position to tell that story, having been here so bloody long.
Ancient times,
I've seen it all unfold.
The wisdom. So. No, but I definitely agree. Like, we need to connect the dots and, you know, just bring some more knowledge and clarity to it. Because I think there are a lot of people who affiliate themselves with grime who have no idea about anything to do with hip-hop in the UK its origins.
I completely understand why. Because it seems to me that at some point, the young people pressed the reset button. Because we didn't hand down the legacy of what we were doing very well. Mm. And drum and bass and house music and, you know, the acid house era came and interrupted what we were doing. So that legacy never got handed down. So these young people feel like they pressed the reset button. But actually, they come from a bigger picture.
Yeah. But wouldn't you also
those
say...
those are the dots we need to connect.
Yeah, it's what I call the unseen torchbearers, you know? Because when people ask me about, what do you think you achieved in the game and blah, 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 I don't really see it like... I only see it as anything tangible. I never had any hits. Do you know what I mean? I lived off rap briefly, very briefly. Right. I did it for however many years, 10 years. But if I could think of anything that was really important, it was something that you can't really like write down in numbers and on paper
Absolutely.
And whatnot. But if I think
Absolutely.
About like running like Deal Real and all the kids that came in there and went on to have great careers, at some point they
saw
me.
And you know
me.
They're doing the Deal Real Union stuff coming up.
Which is going to be big, the legacy. You know?
But I mean, you also have to remember, there was a time that this UK hip-hop thing, there was a much bigger audience. There was a time when, as London Posse, we were bigger in Germany and France and Australia.
Yeah,
than we were in the UK.
Crazy.
And at the time in the UK, we were one of the biggest UK rap groups. Mm. But the audience was just never that big. Mm. But, you know, the legacy that we've left behind is not just here in the UK. I've just come back from tour in Australia and New Zealand. Mm. And I know that hip-hop scene is built on the blueprint of the UK hip-hop scene more than the American one.
And that's a great example because you look at, like, Foreign Beggars and Jest and Maestro.
Absolutely.
Their audiences
Absolutely.
Out there are definitely bigger
Huge.
Than
Huge.
Out here.
No, always surprised.
And that's something that I tell a lot of up-and-coming artists, and I have been telling them for 20 years. You have to look at the global marketplace.
Mm.
Like our marketplace, we speak English, you know. So here in England, we're always going to be competing with whatever's coming from America. Mm-hmm. And you know, let's not get into the argument about the bias on radio to American and English artists. That's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, globally, there's a huge audience for what we do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally.
Go out and find it.
But genuinely, I just feel like when I speak with so many Americans and American artists, like they're, because I genuinely don't feel there's anything that culturally interesting happening in America right now. There's nothing that's like really cutting edge or pushing boundaries, you know, or anything pioneering going on. And what you're seeing now is a lot of American artists are looking to the UK for their inspiration, like whether that is like on the dance side of things.
I think that's
No, that's always been going on, definitely.
In cinema and television and the world that I'm in.
Rock and roll, like, history.
All the most exciting people in my world now is British directors, British actors, British writers.
Well, I mean, that's why the series I'm trying to do is called Under the Influence. We're trying to highlight the fact that these small shores of England and the small communities of creative people here have had a far wider and greater influence than we get credit for, and we're just trying to highlight some of that.
Yes.
But not with no angry face on. This ain't about, you know, give me my credit. This is more a case of just showing some love to some pioneers.
That's, I love it, Rodney.
I can't think of a better moment to play a Rodney P record. Personally.
I know. And after this as well, we do a thing every week, Rodney, where it's called, like, Taking the Piss Tuesdays. So we have, this is the chance for people to air out their grievances, things that have happened to them in this last week that just made them say, are you taking the piss? So we want to hear if you've had a moment. I know you have. Come on, you're English. I know there's something. I know there's something.
It's basically a chance for us to have a moan. So have a think whilst we're playing this record, and we'll get back to you after this. Ladies and gents, this is Rodney P, live and direct on the phone, FUBAR Radio. Sarah, what you got for us?
This is one of my favourite
Rodney
P jams. You don't understand how many parties all over the world where I've mashed the dance floor with this tune. Big up to Joe Rudolph.
All good.
Okay, hold tight, Rodney. We're coming back. You're tuned into FUBAR Radio.
All right.
Hear them shout out,
old
boy, about that. Hear them
yes, yes, yes. The sounds of the one and only Rodney P. Murderer star Rodney, you still with us on the line?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Are you like bubbling to your own tune at home like we are in the studio?
I can't tell a lie now, I was sending some emails.
Still sound fresh.
It's busy, busy, busy. It's got things to be doing. But who are you feeling at the moment then? Like, what music is like on your playlists right now?
Do you know what? I have to be honest. I just got this Kendrick Lamar thing, but I haven't actually listened to it yet. That's what I'm going to be listening
to. It's an enjoyable listen.
It is.
I think you're going to be feeling it.
It's complex. He's trying to do something different with it, which is refreshing.
Yeah, so I think you will like it. But when is the documentary? You were talking about your documentary as well before.
October.
October. We're looking at that.
Are you going to do all three parts at the same time? Or just
No.
Okay.
Just the first one. We're going with the hip-hop one first.
Nice.
Wicked. And then
I'm not trying to over-rush it either. I want to go in-depth with the research.
That's the best way to do it, I think. Correct. A sign like this, you might as well.
Yes, keep us posted, please. And then when can we expect the new music? He said that's summertime.
Yeah, I'm going to be promoting stuff. So I'm going to send you, when we finish on the air, let me get your email and stuff.
Yeah, do that, because we'll play it next week, most definitely.
Oh, I can't wait to hear it, for real. And then shows, you've got some live shows coming up soon, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always busy every weekend. Every weekend we're on the road in a town near you, entertaining people. Kids. That's what we do for a living.
Yeah, so, hopefully I'll be making it to the Mobb Deep show in London.
Yeah, we got the Mobb Deep. That's like the first 10 days in May.
Okay.
From May 1st onwards, and we're all over. We're going to be in Liverpool, in London, in Glasgow, in all over the place. Bristol.
It's funny because I saw Mobb Deep perform, and I was like, oh, cool, Mobb Deep. And I was like, oh, yeah, Mobb Deep. So I was like, you've been more hyped by you being on the bill than Mobb Deep. But, you know, we were asking you.
It should be a good show. It should be a good show.
That's tidy.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, no, it's been too long. But before that, we played Murderous Star by You, we were asking you about, we were telling you about our weekly feature, Taking the Piss Tuesdays. And so every guest that we get on the show, we ask them, like, what this week made you be like, for real, are you taking the piss? Like, it could be anything, large, small, whatever. Like, for me personally, discovering that Beyonce is like a hardcore Republican, that made me kind of say, that made me go, are you taking the piss? Like, you're getting up and performing at Obama's inauguration, but really you're like low-key hardcore Republican.
It's all showbiz, isn't it? It's all showbiz. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying? But
I'll tell you what, I thought about it. I did think about it. And I'll tell you what makes me say, are you taking the piss? Are you taking the effing piss? I don't want to curse on the radio. One of my pet peeves.
Go for it.
Yeah.
And this happened this week. In my local park, where I take my daughters to run and play, I saw someone walking their dog, and the dog fouling on the park, not even in the grass, on the fouling, and then attempting to walk away without cleaning up after their dog.
That kills me, bruv.
Are you taking the piss?
Wait, for real.
Straight? Like, that is just dirty.
Disgusting. I really hate that. Yeah. I'm surprised that hasn't come up on the show disgusting. Before, because that, I can't think of anything that makes me angrier as a Londoner.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, that's atrocious.
I told other cities, don't you? You go other cities in the world and you think, what's different about this place? And you're like, oh, there's no dog shit on the floor.
Well, it depends where you go. Some places it's rampant, but yeah.
I'm surprised certain major cities.
No, but I have to reveal, that is like one of my big, I'm quite into shoes and trainers, yeah, but one of my biggest fear in life is stepping in dog poo.
It's a problem.
Here's what makes me homicidal with that shit, yeah? Like, if you're too if you're too lazy to pick up your dog turd, right?
Shouldn't be owning a dog.
Yeah, you shouldn't be owning a dog. But I kind of get it. Like, I don't have a dog, so therefore, like, I think it's pretty gross to pick up a poo, right?
Listen, yeah? I'm not unrealistic.
I totally get that,
if your
Rodney,
dog runs away in the bushes, you don't have to follow behind your dog.
Like,
come on, man.
What I'm saying is, if you got your dog on the lead, and you know you're a dog owner, you know when it needs a shit, and the dog's on the lead, at the very least, if you're not going to pick it up, yeah, take it to the gutter, like where the curb is, and make it shit, like, it on the road, in the garden.
What is the thought process?
You come out your front door and you see a man's dog dude out on the pavement.
I'm going to tell you a true story, right? It's a true story.
Do not let your dog do that in front of Rodney Pete.
Air, yeah,
are you
air.
Taking the piss?
My mum's place in Willesden, right? I was round there one time. I can't remember if it was Christmas or something, but like there was a bunch of us around there. And it might have even just been a Sunday lunch. And some woman was walking past, and the dog shat outside my mum's gate.
Liberty.
And then the woman just looked around, and then she just walked on.
Just bounced.
And my mum was washing up, like, at the window in the kitchen, which looks right down onto the street.
Wow.
And she goes, oh, my days, I can't believe it. And I was like, what? She goes, this woman just let her dog shit. And I was like, oh, that's a piss take. As a pistol. I thought that would be it. And my mum just went downstairs. Check this out. She went downstairs, out through the gate, caught up with the woman, brought her back. And I'm watching all of this from the window with my brother. She made the woman... The woman's like, I haven't got any bags.
With your bare hands.
She made the woman pick up the shit with her bare hands.
Seriously? That's gangster. That is gangster.
That's the crazy thing.
But if that was a common agreed way that we dealt with it, far less people would just try and walk away without sorting it out, wouldn't they? Because no one wants to handle with no bag, gloves, nothing.
Yeah.
But no, that's a big part of why I would never own a dog.
I'm a dog lover. I ain't got dogs right now, but when my kids get a bit older, I would get them a dog. But they have to clean up after the dog.
Yeah, man. That's the responsibility.
That's what happens when you live in a society amongst people. You try to live good, innit? And letting the dog shit
civilized.
All over the place, that ain't good living.
I'm loving this, Rodney. I think you just peaked. Like, that's the pinnacle of taking the piss Tuesdays. Yeah. Like, I can't even front on that in any way, shape, or form. I challenge any FUBAR radio listener to front on that. 0330-223-0200. Hit us up. Are you taking the piss Tuesdays? What this week has made you say, are you taking the piss? I think, yeah, Rodney, you just smashed it with that one. And thank you so much for joining us this week. It is such a pleasure to hear your voice, and we cannot wait to hear the new music. So make sure you hit us both up with that, yeah?
Under the Influence, the documentary series starting in
October. Yes, look out for it.
Thanks for the invitation. Every time. And you know, we have to hit you with another classic from Rodney P. You know we've got to take it there, Rodney.
Running Man music.
Running Man, okay. We're spiritually doing the Running Man right now. But remember, hit us up, Twitter at foobarradio.com. What made you say, are you taking the piss?
Sheesh!
Peace out, Rodney. Thank you so much for joining us.
All right, baby love. No worries. No,
lots of love. Bye.
All right, dog. All right.
Pure Tunage. That is a certified UK classic. If you know nothing about hip-hop, nothing about UK music, that is, without a doubt, like a cornerstone, that, like, you know, a pivotal moment in British music. That is London Posse. That's the group that Rodney P originally started in. So I had to hit you with some of that. Rodney P was our guest this week, in with me, Sarah, and Doc, taking care of you. And it's that part of the show where we ask you guys,
are you taking the piss?
Like, what this week made you just, like, say, for real? Like, for me, it was the Beyonce coming out as a Republican thing. For Rodney P, I think he just, like,
topped it all off with the people who allow their dogs to poo in the street. You are disgusting. I think another thing for me, which is, I guess, no pun intended, I'm sorry, I'm a bit germophobic. It's like the, if you're going to the toilet and not washing your hands, I think that's pretty grimy. And are you taking the piss? Like, you're touching other people with those dirty hands.
Now you're on a high five.
Now you're on high five. But you know, we're friends. Like, you opened your mouth and. But yeah, so we have a few messages from our lovely listeners, and we love to hear from you. 0330 223 0200. Email us at tuesdaydrive@foobarradio.com. What this week made you say, are you taking the piss, mate? Like, I think we've got some emails, haven't we, Doc?
We have. In fact, let's have a little flick through here. Our first one's from Dawn. Dawn in Vauxhall.
Oh, hey, Dawn.
Whose subject matter just says piss take. And he, in detail, says, I was proper vexed, right? On the escalator at Vauxhall Tube this morning. I'm only running late. And the bloody idiot who stood on the left made me even later. I was blood red mad.
That said, like a proper Londoner, though. I was the levels of vexation. Mad.
But what I love about it is, he hasn't actually said why the guy's a bloody idiot or what exactly he was doing.
He was stood on the left, that's all.
He was stood on the left.
Yeah.
And it made him even later. I mean, everybody knows you can't stand on the left of an escalator. But like,
that makes you certified Londoner.
Like,
seconds. But it all counts when you live in London.
But for a Londoner in the rush hour, every second counts.
Yeah.
That man could have got himself killed.
Yeah, basically. It's a life or death situation.
Thanks, Don.
Yeah, thanks,
Don.
No, I think many of us can sympathise with that there, because we ain't got no time for those people standing on the left.
Now, I always like an anonymous email. Because you know it's going to be really real.
Okay.
And it's going to be about some people that they actually see every day. And this time,
they need to vent. They need to vent.
Hemel Hempstead.
Okay.
Anon in Hemel Hempstead has written in and said quite calmly, that people in my office take the bloody piss.
Mate.
I can't leave nothing on my desk. Pins, staplers, you name it, right? They take it. They're a bunch of light finger fools.
Oh.
Anon.
He's like, I just need to get off my chest.
What I like about that email is the way they've signed it, he or she has put anon, please, in Hemel Hempstead.
They're like, please do not mention anything to do with my name in this email.
Who have we got? This is from Studio One.
Yeah, people just helping themselves to things. That is a liberty.
This is from Ellie in Croydon.
All right, Ellie.
And she said that, when I woke up this morning, I've gone to make a cup of tea, right? My cat Daisy is at the door, which, in brackets, she does when she wants to go outside, close brackets. So I let her out. I'll go and have a shower, come back downstairs. She's at the window wanting to come back in. I'm like, I'll just let you out. Make up your fucking mind. # taking a piss.
Fully.
Ellie from Croydon.
She's on the verge of kicking the cat
Thanks,
out.
Thanks, Ellie. # don't work in emails, but thank you.
Yeah.
Should we have a couple more? You want to move on?
I want to hear. Give me another one.
I'll give you another one.
Gosh, we've got so...
this is amazing. I'm going to save that one for last.
Oh, okay.
I'll move on to one about me from Reese. Are you taking the piss? He's written to us, when Doc mentioned the Milky Bar Chunky, why is there no thing anymore? Reese, I feel you. I don't know what's going on.
#
Nestle
bring back.
Are taking the piss.
Yeah.
# bring back Chunkies. And before we go into some more music, my favourite one in this list is right here. Oh, hold on, not that one.
Oh, not that one. No,
it's
no.
This
technology.
One. The subject matter here from Ben in Hampton just says piss off.
He ain't got time.
All he's written is squirrels take the piss. For reals.
Oh, is that it? That's as deep as it goes.
Done.
He's like, this is too
Done.
Vast a subject
Done.
For me even to get into deeply.
He's
here.
So angry. He just can't write any
He's
more
like,
words.
Just need to put that out there.
Squirrels take the piss.
Aww.
I can't get into detail. You know what the fuck I'm talking
it
about.
It is taking the piss Tuesday. So remember, you can vent. This is your time to vent with us. Vent. But coming up next, we have a special section from Doc. You know Doc can rap about anything, and you should hit us up on the
anything.
Email tuesdaydrive@foobarradio.com with subjects you want Doc to rap about. And Doc has a special rhyme ready to kick for you coming up shortly. You're tuned into Foobar. It's a classic. Something classic from Pete Rock. I've got to say, Anon in the studio said, is Pete Rock taking the piss rapping on his tunes? Which I thought was a bit harsh. It's a bit harsh. Like, come on, the man's a legend. Just give him some slack. He can rap on whatever beat of his he likes.
He's a legendary producer. He can't rap for shit. Never has been able to.
But okay, just call a spade a spade. Just tell it how it is, Doc.
Pete Rock can't rap. Talib Kweli sounds like a goose.
Okay, we need to bring all these up next week. Yeah, but right now it's time for a treat with Doc, who is gonna. We have this challenge that we set Doc each week. Not just close your eyes and open your mouth, but
which
also
is a new challenge that might be short lived.
That has left him traumatized. But we also have Doc Can Rap About Anything, where you guys hit us up at TuesdayDrive@foobarradio.com with the themes that you want Doc to rap about. Mm. Pete in Pimlico is on the line. Are you there, Pete?
I am here.
How you doing, Pete?
We're all good here in Pimlico.
You're like
yes.
A co-host,
good.
Pete.
How are you all good in Fubar? You're all good in Fubar?
Yes, we're good, and we're very happy to hear your voice. But you last week gave us a great suggestion of something that Doc
right.
can rap
yeah,
about.
I did, didn't I?
So set it up for us. What is it you want to hear Doc rap about?
Well, you know, when you're going for a poopy and there's no paper left on there.
Pardon? And
very simple. And very simple.
I didn't hear the
it's not that simple because think of the poopy as a mess.
I know. Listen, we don't need to go into detail.
It's not one of them ones that go out. Oh. It's not one of them ones that go out without touching the sides. This is a mess, and there's no paper.
Oh, gosh. I think we need to hook up Pete and Pimlico and Jeff and Kilburn and challenge them against each other.
Just give them a show.
Yeah, exactly. These are your future presenters set up. Okay, Jeff, so sorry, in a sentence, what is the subject you want Doc to rap about this week?
What is that about the paper not being in the holder at the moment of importance?
So numbers, put.
Yeah,
so
eloquence. Yes, okay.
All right. Well, I've been writing this throughout the show. It's not been easy this week because it's just me and Sarah, so I have to do a lot of talking and thinking of rhymes at the same time and eating cockroaches.
Yeah, that other guy talks all the time. No,
yeah,
he's just talking
guy.
All the time.
Well, he
I don't
can't
even know
talk
what
now.
He's
an
Australian.
Don't
understand
him. Yeah,
he's an. He was saying the thing about you, Pete. No, I'm joking. He was saying how much he loved you, Pete.
Yeah, he does love you from a distance.
And I know he's sad that he's missing out on speaking to you this week again.
Yeah.
So.
But there we go. So this one's going out to Pete and Hugh from a distance.
Okay, let's set this up. So we're,
from a distance. You,
from a distance. Maybe next week we need to get Pete and Pimlico to sing the little karaoke number for us. Are
so
you ready to rap about number twos
about
and
moment,
no paper?
That moment. Yeah. Let's give it a bash. Okay.
Are you ready for this, Pete?
Yeah, man. Do it.
I'm gonna leave Pete's mic up so we can hear his reactions.
Oh, ooh, shit.
You remember
it's
that beat?
It's the 7th of April and we're going in for Pete. This is how it goes. Yo, I always rap about what our listeners did, you know. So this is going out to Pete down in Pimlico. He did something and we all probably did it once, but we're all too embarrassed to admit it. Woo! That moment when you're running to the loo, you wish it wasn't, but you know it's a number two. Get yourself situated, cause that's it, you made it. And you got time to kill now, that shit's the greatest. So you enjoy it no matter how long the dump takes. Cause it's time out from work, like a lunch break. Might read an article or check out my rhymes, or just chill, scroll through your Twitter timeline. Anything that's not annoying to do, either way it's true.
Yeah.
You're enjoying your poo, yeah, that's a fact. You've never been more relaxed, but wait, something just gave you a heart attack. Sat there in shock, no! You look to the right and there's no fucking bug roll. What now? There is literally some real shit going down. Wow, now you gotta walk out the door. Get any paper you can find, some A4. Don't worry about the poo haters, player. You could just scrunch up some newspaper. Trousers around your ankles, wherever you waddled at. Always remember, you have to waddle back. Whatever you gotta do, show urgency. Cause this is a true poo emergency. Boom!
It's a true poo emergency.
There you go, bars.
bars, blood, blood. Oh my God, yeah. Pete, did you feel satisfied like by that?
I'm
well impressed.
Like I've actually wiped my bottom. That's how satisfied I am.
Listening on the cam.
Pete. Like, I'm
good,
well impressed,
man.
Doc. And you know, Doc just like...
Those last few bars, I just made them up.
Just freestyling up the top of the dome piece. About, yeah, but obviously jeez. Speaking from a lot of experience there too. Yeah,
that should, you should release that, man.
You reckon?
Release it,
I'll tidy it
drop
up and we'll put
hush.
It out there. Well, you can see it. We're going to put it online anyway. Pete, thanks so much for your... Well, what would you call it? Contribution. I suppose you would call it a contribution.
Yeah. Inspirational contribution.
Inspirational.
And listeners at home, in the car, wherever you're at, give me some subjects for next week, man. And you got to do better than Pete. So, and Pete, if you got more, send them in, man. Just keep writing,
them
keep
in blood.
Calling.
I'm getting them, I'm collating them, blood.
Yeah, man.
Thank you so much, Pete, for your suggestion for this week's topic. And make sure you hit us up TuesdayDrive@foobarradio.com. We need more subjects for Doc to rap about. We can rap about anything. So hit us up. We love hearing from you guys. And of course, we're here locked in to Foobar Radio every Tuesday, 4 till 6. Hugh, Sarah, Hugh and Doc too. But Hugh won't be here next week either.
Well,
but you know,
it's
you're
a gamble,
in good hands.
Show, isn't it? We never know who's going to be in.
Exactly.
We'll
you never know
week.
What's going to happen. But you know, I thought let's pay you out with something classic.
Oh, nice. Sheesh.
You know, cause just to like take it to that next level. This kind of represents the urgency of the issue Pete was highlighting
really
for
does.
Me. It's Foobar Radio. Keep it locked. You've been tuned into the sounds of Sarah and Doc. Catch you next week, party
Peace.
People.
Thanks for listening. Bye. Love you.
Love you.